This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through a special topical study entitled Jesus.
Turn to John chapter 8, please. We're going to be looking at some scripture today from Old and New Testament concerning, what's it say on the screen? Jesus. We find ourselves, we finished the book of Ephesians, we're going to the book of Philippians, but we're coming up in 2 weeks from now. We're going to be having a very special time, what is called Vision Sunday. So for 2 weeks, I thought we would just look at some topical messages about God. Is that all right? Just reminding us what we already know, but may we be encouraged and fall deeper in love with Him for who He is and what He has done for you and I. And so today we're going to look at Jesus. That's what we're going to do. From Old Testament to New Testament, we're just going to look at Jesus. Look at some things, accomplishments that on our behalf that He has done. In the Gospel of John, it says that if one was to write down everything about what Jesus came to do and say, that the earth itself couldn't contain the books of everything that He has done. And so in no way in the short time before we take communion would we be able to go through all that He has done. But we're going to go through some things. But as we look at Jesus, look at John chapter 8, verse 36. It says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free," what's the next five words say? "You are free indeed." That word indeed is a pretty powerful word, actually. And so if the Son has made you free, if Jesus has made you free, if you've given your life to Jesus, He has made you free, then the encouragement and the understanding is, go deeper, you shall be free indeed. That's you and I today, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is no small thing. Think back, if you can, to the moment that you gave your heart to Jesus. At that moment, there was a radar blip. Everyone that accepted Jesus, it was a miracle. It was a miracle in this world, but in the kingdom of God, I believe that every person that accepts the Lord, there's rejoicing, even in heaven, there for that person. Man, woman, boy, or girl, when they give their heart to Jesus Christ. And He tells us in Scripture, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free," that's what He came to do, "you shall be free indeed." I like the word free. Always have. Free is good. It truly is. I was out to lunch with somebody the other day, or breakfast actually, with Jeff Seward, and Jeff offered to buy, and I thought, man, it tastes better already. It really does, you know. It just tastes better when that happens. Now, I'm not saying if we go out, you have to buy, okay? You know, yeah, if you're married, maybe your wife does, or your, yeah, anyway, but anyway. But let's go to Genesis, please, chapter 3. As I said, we're just going to travel through some scriptures concerning Jesus, and then we're going to take communion together. We know that God set man and woman there in the garden, and it was a great place. But we know that the serpent came and deceived Eve, and she partook of the fruit that we see, and then Adam followed along in suit. Then God turned to Lucifer in verse 15 and said these words, "I," meaning God, "will put enmity," hostility. There's going to be a warfare that's going to be constant that is going on between you. As He speaks to Lucifer, He's saying there's going to be this hostility between you and the woman. The woman at that point obviously was Eve, but Eve would be the mother of nations. And so all the way through, as we continue to go through and onward in the plan of God, we would come to another woman named Mary. And from her would come the Messiah. And so we see here a scripture that points out what was there, but pointing obviously to the future between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. There's a seed, so to speak, of Lucifer and all that he wants to do, but there is a seed that would come from her. Now, we know that a woman does not have a seed. So what is Scripture saying? It's pointing to the incarnation of Christ, the virgin birth of this child that would come into the world. But there's going to be hostility between there. There's a battle going on. And it says, he shall bruise your head, meaning the word could be better translated, I believe, crush. Jesus will crush your head, Lucifer, and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, you would have an effect into his life and that he would go to the cross. But through the cross where Lucifer felt he had victory, we know that there was defeat for him and victory for all of mankind. So Jesus, right in the midst of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 5, is right there. Very important we would understand that. Now go, please, to Isaiah, further back in the Old Testament there, Isaiah chapter 7. To an interesting scripture, but one that is familiar with us as we've studied the Word of God. And during Christmas, we looked at this too. But again, as a reminder today about Jesus. In verse 14 of chapter 7, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin, again, speaking of Mary, shall conceive and bear a son. That's the Messiah. That is, I believe, Jesus. And shall call his name, what is his name? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Who is Jesus? God. God came to be with us in the person of Jesus the Christ. The Messiah came. Go with me to chapter 9. Again, two verses that you're familiar with concerning this child that would come into the world, that would set all of mankind free. Verse 6 and 7 of chapter 9 of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, he's going to have authority, will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, his name, some of the aspects of his name, the depth of his name will be wonderful. That's who he is, this Messiah, this child, this Jesus, wonderful, counselor, mighty God. Notice Scripture calls him mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. That's what he's coming to do, to bring judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, and he has performed it. And so today, Jesus, we celebrate him. Please go to Isaiah chapter 52. For a lengthy scripture, but today, in light of us taking communion together, I thought it would be good that we would just simply read through, beginning in chapter 52, verse 13, to the end of chapter 53. And may it be a blessing to us as the Word of God. It says in Scripture that the Word of God will go forth and will not return void. So what we're going to do is allow the Word of God to speak, and that it will not return void. It will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish in our hearts as we go through here in our lives. In verse 13, it says, behold, my servant, capital S, my servant shall deal prudently. He, Jesus, the Messiah, shall be exalted and extolled, lifted up and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations with his blood. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. The mystery of Christ, the Messiah, the mystery of Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm, the power of the Lord been revealed? For he, Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, parched ground. He has no form or comeliness. He doesn't appear to be a king. And when we see him, There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's rejected. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Surely he has borne, he took our griefs upon himself and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed, counted him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't make a defense. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he, Jesus, was cut off from the land of the living, the crucifixion. For the transgressions, that's his why, the sins of my people, he was stricken. And they made his grave, Jesus' grave, with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because, or although, he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, to suffer. When you made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Christ is eternal. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Beautiful that we see there. The vindication of mankind because of Jesus. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide. I will grant him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he, Jesus, was numbered with the transgressors. And he, Jesus, bore or took away the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody say, praise Jesus. That's who he is. That's what he's done. That is nothing new to you. But as we begin this decade, as we begin this new year, just thinking about Jesus and speaking about Jesus and lifting his name is an amazing thing. Look at chapter 9 of Isaiah. Or excuse me. No, we're not going to go back there. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Sorry. I decided to skip that over. Skip over that. Matthew chapter 1, go there, please. Taking this reality into the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, he was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, what? Jesus. And notice it says, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, now he goes back to Isaiah, which we looked at just previous to this. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name, what? Jesus. Isn't it a wonderful name? Jesus. The name above every name. Scripture says if that name is lifted up, that he will draw all men unto him. The name of Jesus. That's what we do today. We lift up the name of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus our Savior, and Jesus the Lord of our lives. Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know, it's an interesting thing that we can be very close to all that we're talking about here and truly not have received eternal life. My testimony would share exactly that. I grew up in a denominational church. I'm thankful that I did. I grew up going to Sunday school to, back in those days, you didn't have computers. I don't even know if we had TVs. No, we had TVs. But, you know, the flannel stories, you know, the flannel boards or whatever you called them, you do that. And I remember sitting in the Sunday school classes. I remember learning about Jesus. But I never remember ever in that church, and then not the whole denomination, obviously, but in that church, not putting that church down or the pastors that were there. Maybe it was just definitely my heart and my mind being closed off. But I never remember ever being told what I needed to do to receive eternal life. I knew that there was heaven. I knew that there was hell. I knew that there was Jesus. I knew that there was the Father. I knew that there was the Holy Spirit. I knew that, but I didn't really know in my heart. And so right here, there may be people that come into your life that know, but don't really know. And then you can just simply share these truths with them concerning Jesus that will make all the difference in the world, because when I was 27, that's when I finally accepted Jesus Christ. Call me slow. Whatever it is. Call me closed of heart, but I know that it's important that these words are understood by us today. Look at verse 9 of Romans chapter 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth, that's an action, that we come to a point within our hearts and acknowledge things, and we confess and we say, Lord, I am a sinner. I've sinned against you. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, not your mind, your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He's talking about from the very beginning of the birth of Christ all the way through, where he never sinned against the Father. He was crucified on the cross. He was buried in that grave, and he rose from the dead to the living. He's saying that if you believe, for it says in verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There comes that point. It can be inward, but it can be definitely outward, where we just come to God and we say, Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I am not worthy of anything, but I believe today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, become the Savior and the Lord of my life. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. In other words, the truth of salvation is for every person. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And then verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what's it say, the last three things? Shall be saved. How many believe that? We believe that, do we not? And so we believe that because we've seen that happen in our lives. True? Today we are born again. Today we are born from above. Today we are spiritually in union with God, if we've given our heart to Jesus Christ and repented. If you haven't done that, today would be a good time as you receive communion, the bread, the broken body it represents of Jesus, the juice, the blood, the innocent blood that was shed on our behalf. And we're going to talk about that just for a moment. But how wonderful, how true it is that we only need to believe. And I wanted to close our time here just because I can't go through everything that Jesus has done, but I picked out some things about him that I'd like to just bring to the forefront into our minds that we might go, praise you, Jesus, thank you. The first thing I think of is substitution. The definition of substitution is one that takes the place of another, a replacement in the place of. Dwight Pentecost put it this way, God therefore can receive the one who does no more than believe because his sin was borne by a substitute, capital S, Christ, and his indebtedness was paid by another. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. A substitute. There are steps that are necessary for Christ to be a substitute. There had to be the virgin birth. He had to become, and he is, the high priest. He was identified with man in the sense that he represented before the Father mankind. He was separated from man, though, that because he was sin-free. And then the substitution for man, he died in the place of sinner. Christ today, Jesus today, is our substitution. Praise the Lord. That's who he is, and it's a wonderful thing. Christ today is our redemption. It means to purchase out of the marketplace, meaning Christ's life and death not only paid the price for sin, but also removed us from the marketplace of sin. Think about that. That is such an amazing thing. Not only did he pay that penalty for our sins, but he removed us out of the marketplace of sin. This world is a marketplace of sin, is it not? Is it or is it not? It is. And we are removed from that. According to reality, if we look at what redemption means, we are removed by none other than Jesus and all that he has done for us. That's the message we get to live. That's the message we get to carry. That's the message we get to share with other people. We have been removed from the marketplace. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, the virgin birth, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, to bring us out from the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Is Jesus good? He is. We know that, but we're just celebrating that today as we begin a new decade, as we begin a new year, today to celebrate what he has done on our behalf. Go with me to Romans chapter 3, please. A little chapters back a little bit, Romans chapter 3, for the third thing that he has done on our behalf. It's called justification. Today we are justified. Justified means that the Father sees us just as if we have never sinned. He sees us as declared righteous simply by faith. What a wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us. The definition is being seen in the eyes of a holy God, just as if we had not sinned, to be declared righteous, to be declared, I love this, free from blame. There's no blame. Scripture says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. I like the other one too. But there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I go, praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Here, notice in verse 21 of chapter 3 of Romans, it's emphasized. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus to all and on all who do what? Believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's us. But notice verse 24. Being justified, declared righteous freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation. In other words, he's the mercy seat by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate, verse 26, at the present time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has what? Faith in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's amazing. I tried to work so hard to get to heaven until I finally heard the message of grace. So hard. And I remember thinking, what was wrong with me? Well, pride, sin, to humble myself and just simply receive. Go to Romans chapter 6, please. Finished here almost, so we'll take communion together. But we see that Jesus is our substitute. He is our redeemer, redemption. He's the one that has justified, declared, because of him we're declared righteous. But he is our sanctification. Sanctification simply means being set apart specifically for the holy use and purposes of God. But do we realize today that's who we are? We are set apart simply because we accepted Jesus Christ, simply because of that. We don't deserve it. All of us would say we don't deserve it, but who are we in Christ? This is who we are. We are justified. We are redeemed. There's a substitute, but we are sanctified, being set apart for the holy use of God's purposes, making inoperative the reigning power of our sin nature. Listen to that again. Making inoperative the reigning power of our sin nature. We are free from the old man's power. It's true. We have to learn that and walk in it. It's a true. It's been done, but we learn to walk in it. Join with me in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer to that? Yeah, don't ever do it. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized spiritually into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death spiritually? Therefore, we were buried with him spiritually through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, here it comes, we also should walk in, what does it say? Newness of life. That's us. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, which is true, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, which we have done when we accept him, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, verse 11, likewise, you and I also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but what? Alive. To whom? God. How does that take place? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise Jesus. Amen? That's who we have today on our side. Not only has he done these things that we've mentioned, substitution, redemption, justification, sanctification, but he's done an amazing thing called cleansing. Cleansing. As we allow that work to take place in our lives. Having our sins and their effects washed away. It speaks of a removal. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that word all. I'm in the process of all. When I accepted the Lord, certain things disappeared that were in my life. I won't repeat them. They're not worthy to be repeated. And they disappeared instantaneously. I can't snap my fingers. Instantaneously. But there's a process that has taken place for the last 40-some years of cleansing, moving me further and further into the image of Jesus Christ because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's a done work in Jesus Christ for you and I today. That's what I want us to celebrate today. It's a done deal in Jesus. We enter into that. He has judged the sin nature. The life and death of Christ has an important benefit for us in making inoperative the reigning power of our sin nature. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How wonderful. It's no longer I, Lord. It's no longer I, but Christ lives in me. That is a mind blower. We must learn that truth and dive into it. He judged Satan and his demons. He brought judgment upon them. Says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Victory at the cross over Lucifer. He has given us eternal life and abundant life presently. Repeat with me John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. Is that powerful? Powerful. The reality that we find that. God loved you. God loved me. God loved the world so much that he gave. He didn't hold on to his only begotten Son. He who he brought forth. That man only needs to believe, simply believe. That's all we have to do. Trust in, rely upon, adhere to the truths that are presented about Jesus Christ, and we can have eternal life. Jesus' life and death gives us victory over the penalty of sin, which is death, over the power of sin, a life of destruction here on the earth. And he gives us victory over the presence of sin, everlasting life free from the effects of sin. Someday you and I will be totally set free from the very presence, the power of sin over our lives. We will be set free indeed. Free indeed, forever and ever. And go to Romans chapter 8, and this is where we will end as we take communion now. What has Jesus done for us? He has been our substitution. He is our redemption, our justification, our sanctification, our cleansing. He's judged the sin nature. He's brought judgment on Satan and the demons. He has given us eternal life and he's given us victory. And here's where it's spoken of by Paul in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. That means victorious in the midst of the battle through him, through Jesus, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height. Can't you see Paul getting excited when he's writing this down? You know, the Holy Spirit's empowering him, and he's just writing this down. It keeps coming out of him. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise Jesus. Amen. He loves us. He truly does. As we begin this decade, as we begin this new year, I thought it would be good this first Sunday for us simply to look at Jesus. How simple, but how deep. How he sets us free. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the message that will make the eternal difference for human beings. There is no other message. Truly, there is no other message. We have that message. Are we hiding it under a bushel? Or are we letting it shine and sharing it in any way we can? It's a wonderful message. God, this year, this decade will bring, as long as you tarry, he has you tarried here and he doesn't return, He will bring people upon our paths that need to hear about Jesus. Are we willing? We must be, because it's changed our life.
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at CCBCI.org.